Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, the best cultural show on radio as well. And we thank you so much for joining us at the kitchen table today. It's nice to have you here because we know how many choices you have in life, and to choose Michelle Yark and I on a morning like this, wherever you may be, is a good thing, I think. I want to begin by welcoming our executive producer, Miss Yark. How are you doing? How's your week? I hadn't seen you all week.
Well, you know, I've been in recovery.
Yeah.
A little oral surgery.
Yeah, right. And that went okay?
It went okay. Huh? I'm an overachiever, so I get to go back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, it was quiet in the office while you
Well, and that's
it,
why.
It was very quiet. I kept walking up and down the hallway saying, Michelle.
Yeah, I was a little tongue-tied.
Well, you look like you're doing fine now, though. That's good,
huh? Doing very well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing good. Been staying really busy on the road quite a bit. And, you know, I just had an interesting dinner here just recently.
Yes, you did. First annual boucherie.
First annual boucherie event.
Well, and you know, we're getting ready for the culinary groundbreaking.
I'm so happy to say, y'all, that the state of Louisiana has been so generous to me, appropriating about $8 million to build the new John Falls Culinary Arts Center at Nicholls State University. And Michelle, within the walls of that building will be the Bayou Studies Institute, which I know you're very happy about, right?
I am. It's a whole new curriculum that kind of combines the best of Louisiana. So you're studying about some of the ecosystems, but you're also studying culinary, you're studying folklore and tradition. It's really an interesting concept, and it's going to be housed right there.
Right. And our new building, y'all, will be the new educational center for about 300 students. We have almost, we're getting close, I guess, about 400 students at the John Falls Culinary Institute, the fastest growing program on Nicholls State's campus. And I want to thank all of our legislative folks out there and the governor of our state for being so generous to not only come up with the dollars necessary for it, but all of the sponsors out there as well who's been so generous to us. So groundbreaking coming up on that new building.
Yeah, coming Monday.
It's going to be a museum in there as well, you know.
Yes, I know.
A culinary museum in there. Michelle is looking forward to the culinary museum opening at the Institute because she thinks we kind of cluttered here in the office and that maybe we should put things on shelves behind glass walls. Is that what you're thinking?
I think that would be most appropriate. And, I'm sure there's others who feel the same.
Across the glass wall, keeping us alive and well on the satellite today, of course, is Dean Slam, our engineer. I mean, you're doing a good job in that studio. I noticed you have all of our analog equipment piled up outside there. Are you getting the studio together all digital here or what?
Well, you might be able to set up a second studio, a kind of vintage studio out in the lobby.
I have an idea where that studio is going to be. Everything going well in your life, Slama? Huh?
Oh, okay. Well, we survived Mardi Gras, and is it spring yet? Feeling springy. The weather is...
Getting a little spring fever, are you?
Perhaps.
Well, I tell you what's really going on is that as of today, we're about 3 weeks into Lent. Right, Michelle?
That's right. About three weeks in. Did you give up anything, or what are you doing for Lent?
Well, my offering. And you notice I referred to it as an offering rather than a sacrifice, right, for my Lent. You know, in the early days, we used to give up stuff. But this year, I'm making an effort, and I don't know if I can be more considerate of others, but... But with, you know, with all the pressures around me, I'm going to try to exercise a little bit more patience, and you're going to help me with that, right? I mean, you're going to let me know if I step out of bounds.
I'm more than happy to. You know, I didn't realize that that's what you were doing, but I have noticed the kinder, gentler you. I kind of attributed it to the trip to Israel.
Well, I have to say it had a lot to do with that, absolutely. Made me reflect a little bit more on my inner self here and my relationship with Papa. So I've been trying to be a little bit more... considerate, let's say.
That's right. And you know what you said was true. A lot of times when we're kids, and sadly even into adulthood, the standard phrase is, what are you giving up for Lent? You know, what are you going to give up? And a lot of times, even as adults, we'll say, oh, I'm going to give up sweets. I'm going to give up soft drinks. I'm not going to watch as much TV. And as children, we couldn't wait for Easter so that we could splurge after that. But I think as adults, we have to understand that Lent means a whole lot more than that. And that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's confusion because there's not as much talked about in the home, unfortunately. And I hope we see in a reversal of that right now. Not certainly in schools, in my day in school. I mean, we were very into Lent at St. James High School. The hallways had all of the scenes of the upcoming death of Christ and all. I mean, we were all into, we knew what Easter Sunday was
all
about.
And this was a public school.
This was a public school system, St. James Parish, absolutely. But we were also being taught geography and algebra and calculus and all of those kind of things. But it is true that Lent is a personal reflection. It's a time of reflection and conversion with a goal of a spiritual renewal, so to speak, through the disciplines of fasting and prayer. The Lenten ritual of doing without something we enjoy or challenging an undesirable habit, so to speak, is representing strengthening our resistance to evil, as we talk about all the time. It just gives us an idea of leaving all the old ways behind us and embracing Christ's way. You know, that's what I think Lent is all about.
Well, it's kind of a simple doctrine, if you think about it, just of cleansing and rebirth. Not that it's easy, but it's kind of a spiritual as well as character builder. When you reflect on Jesus' deprivation in the wilderness and his ultimate suffering for all of us, you realize really what a small price it is that we pay at this time of year to honor what he did for us. Yeah. So a little offering, a little sacrifice, a little discomfort for, 40 days?
Yeah, for 40 days, right?
You know.
Well, I think we all know and can reflect very easily on the reason for Lent. And theories, of course, of its origin differ in many ways. Lent actually comes from the old English word meaning to lengthen. We observe Lent in the early spring when the days begin to get longer. But in ancient times, these were also the last dreary days of winter, and food was scarce, and fasting and abstinence were encouraged almost as a necessity back then, but certainly it's taken on a different note today.
And another reason that Lent and the eating of seafood on Fridays may have been enforced is because it had to do with the fishing industry itself. In 1563, there was a proclamation that enforced the strictest observance of fish days for policy's sake, so the seacoast will be strong with men and the fleet flourish more than ever. And you know what's interesting is that even after England denounced Catholicism, they still had fish days.
Yep, that's right.
They had fish days because they needed them to support the fishing
industry. They need to support the industry. And you know, the earliest mention of a formal period of purification known as Lent comes from the deliberation of the Council of Nicaea in 325. It began as a 36-day period, but it was eventually settled on the 40 days that we know of as Lent today, excluding Sundays, a time period that also coincided with Christ's fast in the wilderness. So we know that that's kind of puts it all in perspective as to where the 40 days come from and where the Council of Nicaea actually created those days.
And of course, the first day, Ash Wednesday, traditionally follows Shrove Tuesday, what we now call Mardi Gras, a traditional final day of feasting, eating flesh, and that's why a lot of times you hear farewell to flesh.
Farewell to flesh at Mardi Gras. Exactly. The Old Testament tells us how adversity encouraged the Jews to assume fasting and abstinence in a spirit of penance. But in the Christian view, Christ's fast in the wilderness was not about penance, but was to set an example of austerity and discipline in avoiding temptation, as we all know the evil one was there showing him all of the goods of the world and saying, just take these and honor me and all of these can be yours. So we know certainly that that was also part of clarifying exactly what fasting is all about.
Right, and though Christ didn't dictate the duration of fasting or abstinence, he did make it very clear that it should be something that was followed forever after he was gone, that we should fast, we should abstain from certain things that as you say, an emptying of self to become closer to Him?
Well, the Council of Jerusalem in AD 49 set forth terms that abstinence would be from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled. Catching fish involves not so much strangling as it does angling. So early on, the Council of Jerusalem just basically set those terms.
Well, and you know, even though we enjoy abundant seafood here in Louisiana, and it doesn't feel that much like a sacrifice, in the 14th and 15th centuries, fresh fish were not as easily accessible as they are today, unless you lived very close to the water. And of course, the most common fish were herring and cod, but the herring were salted to preserve them. So the result was a very dry, stick-like fish, very unappetizing, and unless you were wealthy and had a summer home by the sea, stick salted fish was what was on the menu for Lent. So you can see how that was a sacrifice in itself.
Well, I tell you, salted fish is still a delicacy in most countries, but a dry herring, certainly it poses culinary challenges for a chef like me. But fruits and nuts from the Mediterranean were added to fish back then for flavor. Olive oil was substituted for animal fat. Almond milk was used in the fish stews. Sauces were invented and mustard spooned over the top of fish made it certainly more palatable back then. But for the average peasant who didn't have these condiments after a hard day's work, to be rewarded with a stick of dried fish for dinner was certainly considered a penance.
Which may be why alcohol consumption increased during this time. But we can also document that St. Paul said, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake." And, well, it was taken literally to kind of relieve that culinary discomfort, as I'm sure.
Fortunately, here in Louisiana, seafood on Friday, as you mentioned earlier, is not some type of culinary penance, that's for sure. And we do try our best to follow St. Paul's rule that we should drink a little wine, follow a little beer, just to help the stomach, so to speak.
Because it's Lent, I always like when you talk about the priest said that you could eat pool dew.
Yeah, we could eat our duck because it was in the river, and it fished for a living, and of course we could eat pool dew. I think a lot of the traditions associated with what you could and could not eat in Lent basically followed the tradition of what was available in an area, because certainly you needed sustenance, you certainly needed food. Y'all, we're going to be back in just a minute. We have a great guest on our show today that's really going to be wonderful. We're going to talk a little bit more about our discussion on Lent, and she is the perfect guest. So we're going to be back in just a minute. Don't you dare go anywhere. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back in a minute.
Because it's a big fish fry up there.
Greetings, I'm Jake Hebert.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM KRVS.
Hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, now broadcasting in HD radio technology.
Now, if you've ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean. Now, all through the week, it's quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night, they go from house to house. You don't have to pay the usual admission if you're a cook or a waiter or a good musician. So if you happen to be...
All right, everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. It's so nice to have you with us today, and I know you can tell from that song, Michelle, we're having fish on Friday instead of Saturday over here.
That's right.
Anyway, But today we're talking about Lenten traditions. We're talking about all the things you should consider this time of year over the next week or so, I guess, few weeks. Anyway, and Michelle, we have a great, great guest that I'm asking you to introduce formally for us right now in the studio.
Absolutely. We have our very dear friend, Sister Dulce Maria, with us of the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center here in Baton Rouge. At a very early age, Sister was drawn to the Lord, and as a teenager, she entered the Mercedarian Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. She's earned her bachelor's degree, her master's degree, a doctorate in education and administration. She loves teaching. Sister is back in school. We'll talk about that a little later. She has followed everywhere that the Lord has directed her. She's worked in several missions. She's been in the Mojave Desert, California, Texas, Nebraska, Alaska, teaching and helping the needy. And then in 2001, the Lord led her to Baton Rouge, and we have been blessed to have her here with us, where she's established her prayer ministry. Sister considers herself a very simple vessel of the Lord, bringing love and power through him. And we just feel very fortunate to have Sister here in Baton Rouge and consider her a gift to all of us. Sister, welcome to Stirring It Up. It's nice to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Sister, it's always nice to be with you. Sister came in and she said, "Where have you been, stranger?"
Oh, he abandoned us. He went to Jerusalem and came back and then went out again. I don't know about my wandering Jew over here.
But look, we're together today. That's a good
thing. That is a good thing, and a blessing at that.
Anyway, Sister, we're talking about the Lenten season today, and of course the Lenten season began on Ash Wednesday. And can you tell us a little bit, what is Ash Wednesday? What does it signify?
The traditional purpose of Lent is the preparation of the believer through prayer, penance, repentance, almsgiving, and self-denial. And that sounds like a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Lent is for all of us who love God and want to pursue a relationship with Him, a closer relationship. It is not meant to be giving up this and giving up that and giving up the other. It is meant to strengthen us in our relationship with the Lord, to strengthen our lives. The whole purpose of fasting is to make us aware of the spiritual journey Jesus took in the desert to prepare for his public ministry, according to the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and to make us aware of our dependence on God for all things. All of us have a mission from God. You and I, and every human being on the face of this earth, our mission is to cooperate in the salvation mission of Christ. Christ came that we might have life and have life eternal. No matter what we do, no matter what area we work, we're all commissioned by Christ to go forth and preach and teach the gospel. Can't teach something you don't know. And can't prepare yourself unless you prepare yourself in the way Christ taught us. So Ash Wednesday is an opportunity for us not only to walk with Jesus during this time, but to do as Jesus did. Fast and pray. Why fast? We know that there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. A lot of different faiths. A lot of different ideas. A lot of different values. Lent prepares us to look at ourselves and look at what's keeping us from that relationship with God that will help us to truly share our faith with others. We must look at your life. Look to see what obstacle you have. Are you an overeater? Do you drink? Do you have aggressive behavior? You have to ask yourself why. The fast of Lent helps us, as it helped Jesus, prepare for our ministry and bring our ministry forth to others. John said something about that he was trying really hard this season of Lent to give up his impatience, to do that. That means he's taking a good hard look at himself and saying, in what way am I not following the teaching of Christ? In what way is my behavior not reflecting Christ to others? It's very easy to say, be patient, live a patient life. It's a lot harder to be an example of it. Christ doesn't want lip service. He wants a life lived in the Gospels. So Lent gives us an opportunity to walk with Jesus, to look at ourselves. Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days, 40 being the biblical number for trials and tribulations. There's a lot of trial and tribulation if you're a person who loves chocolates and can't have it for 40 days. But is that chocolate, if you're diabetic, is it shortening your life? You have a mission. Your mission is to go out and bring the gospel to others. How can you teach others about not indulging in things that are sinful when you yourself are indulging in killing yourself? Called suicide, by the way. So, you have to decide. We have a lot of dependence on things. You get upset, you go get yourself a whole big jar of whatever, that's jar of jelly and donuts or something. You are tired, a couple of drinks will do that. You are angry, yelling, screaming, and slamming doors. We do not know how to behave at times. We don't know how to behave as Christians. Then you turn around and tell your wife, I love you. Give me a break, Mr. Drunkard. Then you go and you tell the people, love God and keep your diet. Look at yourself in the mirror. Are you doing it? Unless you have a thyroid disease, your weight should be normal. Because you have a long life. God has given you so many days. Those are the days that you need to do fast. You don't fast just every now and then. Every day of your life. Examine yourself. What is obstructing me? Is it sexual misbehavior? Then maybe we need a little fasting from that. Going to confession is sometimes a great big fast for people. They stay away from it. You have to do the opposite. Go to confession. Okay? These dependence on things, fasts, enables us to rid ourselves of unhealthy attachments that keep us away from God. It signifies us turning away from sin and turning back to God. The spiritual practice is commemorated on Holy Week, marking the death and resurrection of Jesus, which recalls the events of the Bible when Jesus is crucified on Good Friday, which then culminates in celebration of Easter Sunday of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That sounds like a lot of words, doesn't it? It simply means we commemorate our freedom from death, our freedom from sin, our freedom from self-imposed slaveries through fasting, through prayer. You set yourself free internally to be able to have a relationship not only with yourself, but with your Lord and others. That's what this is all about.
Sister, you were talking about fasting during this Lenten season, and everything you said is so beautiful. And a lot of times, you know, I can be a weirdo, because sometimes I think at the end of Lent, it's almost sad, because you spend all these 40 days and you're more in tune with God, you're more in tune with what you're trying to become, a better person, and then Easter comes and it's like, okay, got that done for another year. But it shouldn't be that way. There are other times that we can do these same things, and certainly fasting being one of them. And I know often you'll fast for special intentions.
Well, the thing is, fasting is not a once in a year thing. It should be a daily thing. I fast every day because there's so much of me that has to be corrected. So much of me that has to be removed. And that doesn't necessarily mean I make a big hullabaloo. The little things, you know, say I'm tired and I'm in aching and I'm in pain. I don't feel like smiling at the nuns. What fault is it of theirs? I'm an old grump. So I have to make an extra effort to come in and attend them and love them. Somebody called me on the phone at 3:30 this morning. That was a lot of fun. I could have grumped at the lady, because she had a back pain and wanted me to lay hands on her over the phone. But that lady has cancer. And giving ourselves over in charity. Fast can be so many ways. A fast is meant to transform you into Christ. And you do part of it and God does the rest. The desire that we have to fast is already a reaching out to the Lord. A child reaches out to his daddy, his little hand. And what does daddy do, or mommy? Takes it. Isn't that a normal reaction? That's what Papa does for us. That's why I call him Papa. He's fantastic. I love him. What can I tell you? I'm prejudiced. Yeah, but you should fast every day. And fasting is not only for Easter season or anything else. Fasting is for every day. We engage in little disciplines. You get up in the morning and take a shower. That's a discipline. You brush your teeth every day. That's a discipline. It's not just so that you don't have rotten teeth. All of those disciplines that we impose on ourselves strengthen our inner self so that we are able to listen to the Word of God, to overcome our little selfish, little nitpicking thoughts. By the way, the greatest fast that you can do that is wonderful for you is watch what you think already. You get up in the morning, you're already grumping around. Can you get up in the morning with a prayer instead of grumpy? When you refuse to listen to any negative thoughts, count how many negative thoughts you have a day. Count how many resentments. Your life is ticking away, honeys. We got a job to do. You can't do your job if your mind is on 100 years ago. So that's a fast. It's a very important fast. Fasting with your thinking.
Sister, every year, Passover and Easter are celebrated close together, and of course the Jewish Passover and the Christian Easter, but these customs are related. Can you kind of tell us about how the Jewish custom of Passover and the Christian feast of Easter relate one to the other?
Well, basically, the Hebrews see their celebration as thanking God for the freedom from slavery, okay? We're seeing the same thing, only we're thanking God for the freedom, for Christ bringing us freedom from the slavery of sin and death. When Jesus died for us on that cross, he gave us eternal life. We will be eternally united to God. So we celebrate what Christ brought us. He brought us freedom from sin, freedom from death, and he adopted us as his very own children. We are sons and daughters of God in a very real sense. We celebrate that.
St. Joseph's Day always falls during Lent, St. Patrick's Day. So we have a couple of our favorite saints' feasts during this time, and in particular, St. Joseph with the St. Joseph altars, and the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center actually celebrates this Sicilian tradition of building an altar every year. Can you tell us a little bit about that coming event?
I'll tell some, and then Kimmy has to tell the rest, because I'm not all that savvy about that. The Feast of St. Joseph and St. Joseph's Altar is a very proud Sicilian tradition that dates back hundreds of years. There was a drought that had devastated the crops throughout the island, and their only recourse was a powerful intercession of St. Joseph, the island's patron. They pledged that if St. Joseph delivered them from certain starvation, they would for all generations come to honor him by setting up altars to thank God for his intercession. Not only did they not starve, the Sicilians had one of the biggest crops they'd ever had. True to their word, they have continued the tradition of setting up altars in St. Joseph's honor, adorned with all kinds of foods that reflect their harvest. Meatless, of course, because their feast always falls in Lent. Flowers, statues, pictures of holy saints and the Holy Family. In honor of St. Joseph, all of the food is distributed to the poor and those less fortunate, thus showing a discipline of giving. Charity is one of the greatest disciplines we can have. We can be very selfish and hang on to stuff. It's always important that we remember that not everybody is blessed with the gifts we have been blessed with, and we need to learn to share, especially with the less fortunate than ourselves.
Now, Kim, as executive director over at the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center, and we should probably tell people where it is. I know, sisters, we all know it so well right there in Baton Rouge. People are constantly asking me, tell me a little bit about Sister. Tell me a little bit about where is the center. Why don't we take an opportunity right now to tell people where it is and some of the activities there?
Well, the Lord has blessed us with wonderful 51 acres over there.
It's actually 17560 George O'Neill. It's right by White Oak Plantation. It is truly a location that's there right at the end of George O'Neill. And the event that we have is the St. Joseph's Altar. It's our fourth year that we're having the annual event. It's Sunday, March the 17th from 1 to 4. It's a very open event. You know, we'll be serving a meal. Of course, this is a meatless meal, as Sister said, because it is during the Lenten time. But it's a wonderful, last year we probably had about 800 people
Wow.
that had come by and visited. They gave their petitions to St. Joseph. and they were able to go ahead and visit the center at the same time. Fabulous place for family.
And as tradition has had it for so many years, I mean, the whole community gets involved in bringing food or putting things on the altar. And as you say, it's a meatless meal. 800 people, are you saying, showed up last year?
Yes, we were so blessed with having that many people, and that many people were fed with a meal.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And that's grown because it's only, as you say, what, the fourth year or so?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, Sister, talking about St. Joseph's Altars, I know that you have taken a keen interest in something I'm very interested in, and that's kind of growing our own food. And I know that you've put in, she was telling me this morning about her little chicken eggs that's just starting to hatch right now. The gardens behind the center is just beautiful as well. And I took a picture the other day of a couple of the nuns tending the garden back there, which is so, in my mind, European. And so you see it all through Europe, but now that's come to Baton Rouge. Tell us a little bit about the wholesomeness in your own food and things like that.
I feel that all of us have to be very health conscious as far as eating properly. You need to be able to get vegetables and fruits, and you can, especially in this economy that is, I tried to buy a bell pepper that cost me a dollar something for the bell pepper, almost $2. Well, we're growing them all over the place. The seeds don't cost anything. So the chickens, well, one of the sisters really was talking about chickens and how she loved. So I got her some chickens, and I promised not to eat them. We'll eat the eggs. That takes a little bit off the edge of how much we pay for on the food bill each year. Sure. And no more sisters are coming. So I have to plant some things to help with the economy. Another thing is the aesthetic beauty and the joy of just seeing how Papa grows all his little plants and working with people who really love gardens. I'm learning a lot.
There's also a lot of volunteers, even in the garden. I mean, a couple of girls I see, they're working all the time. And it's interesting to see how a place like the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center brings people from all walks of life onto the property. It's really inspiring to walk out there and see somebody from one little community over here working in the garden, somebody tending grass. And the volunteers, that's also, we want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that's taking place at the center, if that's okay. You know, who's seeking out the center is also something of interest to us. And then just Papa's mission there. What does he want of all of us as we enter those gates there? So we're going to be back in just a second, y'all. You don't want to go anywhere. We're also going to cook a dish, and you don't want to miss that either. I've got some good food coming up. See you back in a minute.
Our music on the Thistle and Shamrock transcends boundaries, expands horizons, celebrates tradition, stimulates innovation. It's music to bring people together, so why don't you join us?
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
Mix avec Val. Bienvenue dans le monde francophone. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie.
Hi everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, host of Bill Street Caravan. Join me each week for live performances from blues clubs and festivals around the world. We'll also have feature host segments that give you the stories behind the music. That's Bill Street Caravan, Saturday nights at 11 p.m. here on KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
T'as des misères à réveiller le dimanche matin? Mais allume la radio avec moi, Louis Michaud, tous les dimanches matins, 7h jusqu'à 9h. On va charrer en français, écouter la musique en français et boire une petite tasse de café. Join me, Louis Michaud, if you have trouble waking up in the Sunday mornings. Just turn your radio to KRVS from 7 to 9 and hear me with Le Réveil, The Awakening en français.
Everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best food and culture show on radio. I love that song about I'm a little catfish swimming in the sea rather than in the bayou. That expands his horizon. Y'all, it's so nice to have all of you back with us today. And of course, we want to remind everybody that you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/stirringitupradio. And of course, if you go to our site, you're going to find some activities that we have going on in our lives. There's going to be some little contests for you to be a guest here on our show and other things, but also all of the facts and figures, everything you want to know about the topics you're hearing here on the show will be laid out there for you just by clicking on that enter button. It'll bring you right on in to our website, so we encourage you to visit. We are so fortunate to have with us today Sister Dulce Maria from the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center in Baton Rouge. And Sister, thanks so much for all those beautiful comments you were giving us earlier. It's always nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. You're such a sweetheart.
And Kim, we were talking during the break about people always asking me, as I say, about accessing, you know, the center and what activities available. You mentioned the St. Joseph's Altar a minute ago, but Sister, there's also the men's
men's spirituality group
that I'm a part of,
yes,
and of course women's as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, the men's spirituality, the men come in, and it's from what?
It's always the first Wednesday of every month,
right,
from 7 in the morning to 8 o'clock at the Chapel of Divine Providence, right there on this at the center.
Yeah, and we make sure that they have their coffee and maybe a little biscuit or something, because it's early in the morning. We have approximately how many men come, basically?
We're probably about anywhere from 80 to 100 that show up, averagely speaking.
No, it's really great, and we start off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the fact is I always had one or two people riding with me from our area, and we go, and it's always great, because first of all, it's a good meet and greet with all of the guys and business people, which men like. You know, we get to see each other, and hey, what are you doing, and I even pick up a job every now and then over there. Somebody needs something. So it's really great. There's a lot of camaraderie. But then, of course, the prize of the whole morning beginning at 7 o'clock is to go into that gorgeous chapel. I mean, it's just so beautiful, Chapel of Divine Providence. I mean, it's the stained glass in it is wonderful. It soothes you and calms you down. And then, Sister, of course, with your beautiful words of wisdom to us, just 1 hour, 8 o'clock, we're out of there and back to work. And that's really wonderful. And you do the same thing for women's groups as well.
I do. Kimmy, tell me a little bit about, since you come to all the women's groups and you're with me when I am trying to pray and get the message from Papa, what he wants me to talk about. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, actually, the women's group is the second Wednesday of every month, but it's in the evening time from 6 to 7. Sister's pretty adamant about starting right on time and finishing at 7, understanding there's lots of families. But I think the women, we're probably close to about 200 every time, and it's very spiritual. I mean, it's a way to live your faith. And Sister just basically, as you said, is inspired by what Papa wants to share with us that time. And so many women walk away with it like, oh, she was talking to me. No, she was talking to me. So it's a talk by Sister on how to live your life. And each time it's a different topic. So.
Well, you know, also, Sister, you have given us access, which is really wonderful. I had never been to a Bible timeline study in my life, and I was fortunate to be a part of that. And now we're studying the Gospels of Matthew, which is just absolutely wonderful. But then you encouraged us to take a trip to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, 33
of us went.
33, Michelle, and that was an unbelievable event, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, and it all started because of the Bible timeline study that we did. And, of course, many parishes, not only in the diocese but around the country, also do the Bible timeline study with Jeff Cavins. But we did that last year. We're very inspired, and Kim spearheaded the trip to Israel that 33 of us, as you mentioned, 33 pilgrims went on and just got back. And in fact, we're going to be talking with our Israel guide in the next week or so. But it was fabulous. And then now we're just starting the study of Matthew. I'm putting words in sister's mouth, but she's even gotten a couple of us enrolled at Notre Dame Seminary. So the education, why is that so important, sister?
Well, I want everyone to know the Lord's message, and that is that we are responsible for our faith. We don't just go to Mass and not understand what's going on, because you miss out on the relationship that God wants to have with you. I cannot emphasize to you how many times I have seen Him love you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you in your happy times and in your sad times. He wants to give you the wisdom you need when you're in trouble and don't know what to do. He wants to be by your side when you're worried about your kids. He wants to make you have a good laugh. God is a happy God. He's not a morose, unhappy person. He wants to set you free from all those fears and doubts and worries, anxieties. And He walks with you. I work with the sick and the dying. I see Him walking with them. God does want to walk with each one of us. And you know, the center is a small microcosm of what the church is doing everywhere. If you need to come say a private prayer, come sit in a chapel and be at peace. Come walk the gardens. But also remember, you have parishes that also are offering programs. Take advantage of that. God wants you to know Him. Take advantage of all the parishes that offer the same thing. You have wonderful priests in this area. Now that I've been here for a time, I've gotten to know our priests. They're beautiful men, beautiful holy priests. And their love for God and their love for you is just as strong. So all of us, both the churches and our own little ministry, is working to draw you to God and to teach you how to love Him and to walk with you one day at a time. One day at a time. That's how you're going to get to walk with God. If you go through these different areas, you'll get to know your God. You'll get to grow in your faith. You get to strengthen in your faith. And you get to have a personal one-to-one relationship with Him. And that's our goal. Opening the doors to Christ is exactly that. We want to open the doors so that you can walk in the Spirit with the Lord.
Sister, you made a beautiful comment about the local parishes and the priests, and we're fortunate in South Louisiana to really have such a great network of faith here. I know certainly everybody can access it, but I do want to mention how much we appreciate the Bible studies, that the men's spirituality groups that meet over there and I encourage all of you to just give us a call, go to the website, give us an email if you want to know more about how to join the men's group over there. But also, we have activities all year long. I mean, there's all kind of things going on that you need to be reminded of. One of the great things that's done every year is our dinner that we do every year, which is really great. And we have a newsletter as well, right? Kim, tell us a little bit about the newsletter and how people may access it.
Yeah, we have a website that they can go to, WW Cypress Springs Prayer Center, and actually they can sign up for the newsletter. We have a newsletter that comes out 4 times a year. But more than anything, the newsletter actually talks about different testimonials, you know, people that have had their walk with our Lord, and their testimonials are so touching. We have baby stories, we have stories, you know, the people have come to see Sister, and she has set them on the right pattern of walking with the Lord. So the newsletters are very inspiring, and for sometimes people just need that extra little bit to be able to walk with God. Oh, so it's very exciting. But the evangelization that we do over there, we have the St. Joseph's Altar, we have the La Posadas. It's a lot of educational things for families to learn about, you know, different aspects of faith.
It's a very special place, and as you mentioned, at the end of George O'Neill Lane right there, right next to White Oak Plantation, we're very fortunate to be good neighbors. And I do want to remind everybody that Dining by Design is a big event we do every year at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Baton Rouge, and we normally bring about 600 guests in for dinner with magnificent chefs out Dining by Design. This year, you might want to mark your calendars, August 25th, Sunday, August 25th, and it's an evening of great food. We bring chefs from all over the country to come in and pair them with designers and florists to create magnificent tables, and there's no better food event in the city of Baton Rouge than Dining by Design, Sunday, August the 25th, 2013. And I want to encourage all of you to go to the website. The Sister Dulce Foundation, of course, is listed there, and there's a lot of opportunity for you to take advantage of all types of events taking place there all year long. So, Sister, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to sit there because I'm going to give a recipe right now. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love it.
You like that? Michelle, what about books or anything on the subject? Do you have anything?
Of course.
Before I jump into it, Michelle always makes sure people build their libraries appropriately with themes of the show.
Well, the first book I wanted to recommend, if you'd like to learn more about the history of fasting, is a book entitled Fish on Friday: Feasting, Fasting, and the Discovery of the New World. It's by Brian Fagan. It was a book that we used as a resource when we were doing the Hooks, Lies, and Alibis Seafood and Fish Cookbook. Brian's book takes us across the centuries, across the continents, to explain the history behind eating fish on days of fasting. And the book also contains historic recipes that can easily be converted for today's kitchen. So that's one book, Fish on Friday. The second book, The Catholic Home: Celebrations and Traditions for Holidays, Feast Days, and Every Day, by Meredith Gould. It's a book which delves into the history, the symbolism, the traditions behind the holy days of the liturgical calendar. So both really good books for both your cultural library and for your culinary library. And we'll have all the information on those books on our website, jfoles.com.
Absolutely, y'all. And one of the missions of the show is not only to entertain you and give you good recipes and a little touch of history, but also, as Michelle just mentioned, to give you resources that you can add to your library that will always be there to give you information at the snap of a finger. And again, those books will be listed on our website, jfoles.com. Now I want to give a great recipe. And sister, I always, whenever I'm doing a dinner when there's some folks coming over to the center, I always like to do my little melitone and crab meat casserole.
Whoa. That sounds good.
And chayote squash. I really love chayote squash. And a combination of this very mild vegetable with lump crab meat or shrimp or ground beef or combinations of all of that is fantastic. But this time of year when you're staying away from meat on Fridays, nothing better than crab meat and shrimp stuffed or crawfish stuffed melitón, as we call it here. So we're going to begin with four melitón. I would normally begin. This must be one person eating today. We're beginning with four. But you're going to split them in half, and that gives you eight halves. And, of course, you're going to boil the melitón, and you can, as you said, they call them vegetable pears. Also, you see them in the stores. They kind of rock hard. They're green vegetables shaped like a pear. They're normally under the name chayote, C-H-A-Y-O-T-E, squash. You cut them in half. You boil them in lightly salted water for about 40 minutes to tenderize them. And then you take them out cool, and using a tablespoon or a soup spoon, something like that, you're going to go ahead and gently scrape out all of the meat from the shell, just as you were scraping an eggplant to stuff an eggplant. You're going to do basically the same thing with the melitón. And once all the meat is scraped from the shells, you set those eight shells aside because we're going to stuff them in a minute. And you use the meat of the melitón as part of the stuffing. So into a large cast iron skillet, I'm going to go ahead and put maybe about a half a block of butter. You can use vegetable oil, canola oil. You can use margarine if you wish, just to put a little oil down into that pot. And then you're going to saute 1 cup of diced onions. You're going to saute about a cup of diced celery, a half a cup of diced bell peppers, maybe a tablespoon or so of garlic. So all of your trinity of vegetables sauteing nicely in that saute pan. And then you're going to add the meat from the four melitons. That'll probably be about the equivalent of 2 to 3 cups of this nice vegetable puree that's come out of the shells. You're going to add those in with all of the vegetables, and you're going to saute that and cook it until it softens beautifully. It's going to take about 30 minutes. Then I would add the jumbo lump crab meat or the shrimp to it at that point. And season to taste, salt, pepper, granulated garlic. That's all you really need in there. Throw a little parsley and green onions right at the end to give it that beautiful look. Even a little red or yellow bell pepper will always add color to the dish as well. Once it's seasoned nicely, you're going to throw in about a half a cup of seasoned Italian breadcrumbs so that it kind of thickens up the meat and gets it all nice and tight so you can scoop it back out of the skillet into the prepared shells. You put that into a 350-degree preheated oven, and you're going to cook it for approximately 15 to 20 minutes until the melee tones brown nicely. The stuffing is nice and toasted on the top and a little bubbling going on the bottom of the shell, indicating that everything is nice and hot. And then you're going to call the family to the table. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. So that's our chayote squash. And for Lent, we are putting some meatless dishes onto the website so we know that you have access to some of these beautiful dishes that can be cooked during this holiday period. Sister, thank you so much for being here with us today. What a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And Kim, thank you for your great work over at the center. I know you're always there working so hard. And
she's fabulous.
She absolutely is, that little elf over there. She really got us through Israel in a great way, too. That was really good. We appreciated that. Now, y'all, I know Easter's right around the corner. Reflect on it a few weeks away. And until then, get down on those knees and thank the good Lord. That's what we all need to do. We'll see you back next week.